This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Hello, everybody. This is Basma Farhad of the People Speak Radio. Here we believe when the people speak, they make a difference. You can listen to the People Speak live on BBS Radio every Tuesday night at 8 and to 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, or by going to our website, thepeoplespeakradio.com and .net. Either way, you're going to get there. We own them both. Ellen has been with us before. She's a fascinating guest. The last time she was here, she spoke about the book. We spoke about the book Web of Debt. Hello, Ellen. How are you?
I'm fine. Warmer than you are, I understand.
Yes, it's quite chilly, quite brisk this evening here. Michigan tends to be like that, unfortunately. And I'm sure if you talk to your son, he'll tell you the same thing. Ellen has authored about 11 books, including Nature's Pharmacy, co-authored by Dr. Lynn Walker. But tonight we're going to be speaking about one of these incredible books on medicine and a story about a gentleman by the name of Jimmy Keller. And the book is titled Forbidden Medicine. Can you tell us who Jimmy Keller is, for those of you that don't know?
Unfortunately, it was. He passed away this spring, last spring.
Oh.
He was a cancer patient himself, and he had been given up as a hopeless case after he'd gone through this terrible surgery that deformed half of his face and cut off his ear, and then. He was sent to, his parents recommended that he go to the Hoxie Clinic in Texas, and he didn't think it would do any good, but it was just a natural therapy. And sure enough, he started to get better. And so he was so impressed that there was actually a solution that his medical doctors didn't tell him about and apparently didn't know about, that then he got into all the alternatives. And so he wound up having a clinic in Tijuana, but he wasn't a medical doctor, so that made him a prime candidate for when they went after there was an effort to shut down the Tijuana clinics or to bring them into line with conventional medicine. In other words, now they have to recommend chemotherapy to their patients and so forth. So in an effort to shut down the Tijuana clinics, he was one that they went after because he was sort of an easy target, and he was very popular. He had a massive following, and it was rather like a revival. The first time I saw it, it was compared to all the other clinics where it was just so somber and discouraging, the whole idea of cancer. But to these people, they said they actually look forward to going to Jimmy's clinic because, first of all, they felt better when they came out of there. But besides, it was just such a supportive environment, and people would sing, and it was just very friendly and family-ish. So he definitely had something going, and many people attested that they had gotten better when their doctors had said there was no way they would get better. But what they arrested him for was fraud, the alleged fraud of representing that he had a cancer cure, although he never said that. And it was actually a woman who worked for him who was in Utah, so they called it a conspiracy to commit fraud. So it was a very thin charge in the first place. It was just clearly trumped up, and we knew it was because we had the records from some meetings of the National Council Against Health Fraud where they had actually targeted him. So he was kidnapped from his clinic in Tijuana, where he was practicing quite legally, and taken across the border to Brownsville, Texas, and tried and convicted. And I was on his legal team. I'm afraid I didn't prevent his being convicted. And then he served 2 years in jail, and then he was out on probation for 5 years. But, of course, all his patients went to him again and said they would die if he didn't treat them, et cetera. So, of course, he did. And then at the just at the end of his probation, they caught him again for the probation order was very unclear, but it was that he wasn't allowed to engage in those things he had been engaging in. So they decided he was, and he was in violation of his probation, and he wound up in jail for another year and a half. But he was an interesting case, first of all, because it was such an eye-opener that there were all these treatments that worked, but also because he covered everything, his case was sort of representative of the whole alternative healthcare movement and how it's been suppressed and how we just never hear about it. And we're made to think that we only have one alternative. And today, with this whole compulsory health insurance, which I think is a horrible scam, it was one thing when you thought, oh, well, that's too bad other people believe in that stuff. But now everybody is going to be forced to underwrite a form of medicine that I'm convinced is not only not doing us, is not only not good for us, but it's actually responsible for a large part of our problems.
Exactly. Helen, the majority, or at least from my understanding of the majority of Jimmy's treatments were non-toxic, were they not?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And being non-toxic and fairly inexpensive, based on a lot of different things. One of them was, one of the things he used was acid IVs. And I don't know a lot about them, but when you talked about the kind of people that were going to these clinics, to this clinic, and how they responded, that they were joyous and happy and congenially just sitting there getting their treatments, and they were quite pleased with what they were getting. It reminds me of when I was doing chelation therapy, because I also delved quite heavily into alternative methods of healing. And at first, you're very skeptical. I mean, even if you believe the rationale behind it, you're extremely skeptical. And yet when you sit amongst people that have been doing, like, say, chelation therapy, or in Jimmy's case, the treatments for cancer, the acid IVs for cancer treatment, you can't help but be infected by the attitude of the people that are being healed by these things. You know, you're talking about, I would be sitting there talking to people that 8 or 10 or 15 weeks before could not walk. And now they were walking, and the swelling in their legs had all disappeared, and so I know exactly what you're saying when you talk about that kind of camaraderie that happens in a clinic situation like that. Jimmy was beaten at one time for keeping his clinic open.
Yeah, he'd had quite an interesting and traumatic story. I just wanted to say, you said acid IVs, but the base of his IV was actually arginine, which was an amino acid. So that was in all his IVs, and then he added different things for different patients. But arginine is actually an immune booster. So, and it's now known, and there are studies showing that it stimulates the immune system. But at the time, it was... nobody even knew what was in the serum. He didn't actually know it himself because it was called Tumorex, and he had gotten it from. He just tested different things, and the things that worked, he used.
And didn't the FDA actually test the amino acid and come up with the conclusion that it wasn't working, and therefore that was one of the problems?
I think you've read my book more recently than I have, but I do know there were studies after he was, like in the 90s, there were studies of arginine, and it was like the latest thing showing that it actually did stimulate the immune system, and therefore it was good for all kinds of things, including cancer. So.
At the beginning of your book, you quote the Surgeon General of George Washington University, who wrote, "Unless we put medical freedom into the Constitution, the time will come when medicine will organize into an undercover dictatorship." What is medical freedom, and how do we now have medicine that has turned into this stealthy dictatorship that you speak of?
It has, but right now it's not even a medical dictatorship. I mean, it's not the MDs, because they are as outraged as everybody else with this compulsory health insurance, which is actually, you know, going to make them take less in the way of income. But it's really the insurance companies, which are all part of the fire industry, you know, the finance, insurance, real estate, they're all the same things. So it looks to me like it's just the next step after they ran through all the subprime mortgage holders. Now they're going to go through all the people that don't have insurance and force everybody to buy insurance. But yeah, health freedom, that nobody even talks about that. I saw one article one time and he was talking about something about freedom and or choice, and I thought, oh good, somebody's finally talking about my issue. But he was talking about the right to choose between insurance companies. But nobody today is talking about the fact that, or nobody in the mainstream who is talking about this medical issue that, you know what I mean, that the one that's going on in mm-hmm. Congress. There is right. not even an issue whether maybe we don't want this healthcare system, and maybe we don't want to put that much money into something that, by the way it operates, is necessarily against our interests because it's profit-driven. I know somebody who, he's a chiropractor, but he knows somebody else who had a great remedy, and he went to a drug company, and he said, I can't remember what it was for, but, you know, he showed him, and he said, you know, it works, this is great. And the drug man said, well, that's an interesting idea. He said, but you know we won't do it. And he said, why not? He said, well, we can't make any money, you know, if we heal everybody with a cheap remedy. So what they want are those drugs that you have to go on for life and that actually are making you more toxic and will give you more health problems. So those are the things that will generate the most profits. It generates profits to keep us sick. We should have that's why we really need a public option, because if it's the government, they want to save money. So naturally they're going to do the thing that works. I remember talking to a woman who was she had developed a Scanar, which is a Russian it's a just an energy treatment. And she said that in Russia, because they had no money and they had all these sick people, they really focused on what really worked and what worked most cheaply and most efficiently. And so they came up with some great remedies that, of course, we aren't even exploring. Our medical system has no interest in cheap natural remedies. What they want is expensive, unnatural, patentable remedies.
And you have to be on for a long time.
Right.
Long term.
By definition, you can't patent anything in nature. Well, you used to not be able to. I guess they've actually managed to do it now. But in theory, you can only patent something that's been altered. Well, by definition, if you're putting something into your body that's not natural, that's been altered, you're putting a toxin into your body, something that you have to fight to get out of there. The definition of a drug is something intended to alter the structure or function of the body. Well, you're altering its natural function, like you're bypassing something that the body itself is trying to do, which has to make you worse. It can't make you better.
Well, you know, one of the things that I find interesting about this whole healthcare phenomena, and I consider it to be a phenomena, and I'll tell you why, Ellen, you know, we're actually fighting amongst ourselves, and people are showing up at town hall meetings packing guns at their sides because we may risk getting healthy Americans. I mean, if that isn't a frightening scenario, I don't know what is. I think I never laughed so hard as the day that I saw people actually wielding weapons at town hall meetings over health care. But my concern is that here, the majority of the conservative party and leaders are complaining and saying, well, you know, we don't want government involved in our lives, and yet it's okay if they allow government in their lives when it comes to pharmaceutical companies, health care, lack of public option, and these kinds of things, because there's a profit to be made. So they're okay with the government being in their lives as long as there's a profit to be made.
Mm-hmm. Or those people that said they want less government and don't mess with my Medicare.
Yes, now talk. Now, that has just got to be some of the, I mean, I seriously, I haven't laughed as much as I have laughed this year when, with this healthcare issue. Let me ask you, knowing what you know about the medical industry, do you trust doctors?
I don't go to doctors. But, you know, I shouldn't say they're not. I'm sure there are many fine doctors out there. And wouldn't say, I would be more inclined to not trust drug companies. But even there, they're just looking at their bottom line. I mean, they're a corporation, and by definition, a corporation has to think in terms of short-term profits and in terms of shareholders. And so they can't really think what's best for the patient. That's not their purpose in life. And in fact, they can get fired if they're not making money. They're supposed to be there to make money, and insurance companies are even worse. They get promoted for finding reasons to deny coverage because that makes money for the insurance company.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of the things too that I always find interesting, and I like to always mention this when it comes to these issues of healthcare and insurance, is if you live in Washington D.C. or if you're a member of Congress or a member of the Senate, they pay for your non-medicinal supplements under the insurance plans. They don't do that in any other state in the nation, but they do it in Washington, D.C. Now, if that doesn't strike a chord in the heart of anybody, I don't know what does, Ellen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the insurance is going up and up, so it's not only are we getting bad coverage, but it's going to be more than we can afford to pay for. I mean, I don't need my vitamins covered. I can certainly afford to go out and buy my own vitamins. But when people, like, it's going up, I've heard a couple that there's nothing wrong with them, and the two of them are paying $1,100 a month for, I mean, they just have the ordinary complaints, you know, they're over 60, $1,100 a month mm-hmm. for insurance for two people. I mean, that used to be rent. I think that's still rent for a very modest place. So if you're paying that much money, where is the money coming out of? It's coming out of your organic mm-hmm. foods and your vitamins and all those things where you think, well, I don't, you know, I can't afford those. Those are extra. I don't need those. I'll live on peanut butter and bread and pay my medical insurance. But I mean, many people don't. In fact, I know very few people who are insured, actually. All my friends are, of course, we're all alternative healthcare people, but there's no point paying for an insurance you're never going to use. It's not that there aren't, that you don't need remedies, but the remedies are not the ones they offer.
Certainly not
drugs.
And I guess I figure if you're taking a drug long enough and you're not getting any better, then maybe you shouldn't be taking the drug.
Oh, I live with my mother and a lot of old people, and they just don't seem to see that. I mean, it's so obvious to me that those drugs are making them sicker. And you can tell by looking at old people here are misshapen. There's just something wrong with the look of old people. I've lived abroad for 11 years, and old people in other countries, you know, they do artwork of old Guatemalans, and because they have that sort of, there's something noble and craggy and still very pretty about them, even though they're old. It's like an old tree or something. They're just kind of weathered. But old people here are, you can see the effects of cortisone, and you know,
they're depleted. I think
white,
puffy,
agree with you.
Look,
yeah,
very depleted. They look,
and
like
overweight.
They're withering. Yeah, they look like they're withering away, and that's unfortunate, whereas, yeah, you're right. Let me ask you, is there any group that has either of doctors or traditional alternative therapists or in the traditional field, has anybody taken up the cause that Jimmy started and pursued this line of healing?
Several people have contacted me, and I've told them what I know about the formula. We don't really exactly, I know what his son told me, but it's a little loose. It's like my grandmother's cooking, you know, a handful of this. I mean, it's not a handful, but you know, it's not totally specific. But I know some people that are practitioners. The problem is that it's an injectable, and so you don't want to just go home and experiment with it. Nobody's supposed to be injecting things except licensed practitioners. There's a woman here who was one of Jimmy's patients, and she was, I hate to use the word cured, because nobody can say cured except doctors, but she's definitely much better. You know, she feels fine. I went to lunch with her recently, and her husband's a nutritionist, or does nutritional therapies, and they're developing a product. So I think, but the thing is, you can't say that it's for cancer. You have to say it's an immune stimulant, or it's, you know, for your general, that
overall,
make you look better. Yeah.
You can't even say health, if I'm not mistaken. I think you have to call it general overall well-being.
Right, well-being, yeah.
Yeah.
I know, it's they can't even say that on vitamins, which there's definite evidence.
Right.
That vitamins are good for different things. So you just have to guess. You go into the health food store and it doesn't, you know, it says take once a day. And that's about all it tells you, because they're not allowed to say anything.
Well, a friend of mine worked for Dow Chemical Company for many years, and we were talking about it one time, and this was, oh gosh, probably 20 years ago. And I said, so what do you guys do? He goes, we actually sit around in the back rooms of these labs and test herbs and supplements. That's what they do. And the reason that they haven't released it is because they have not been able to formulate any kind of regulation over what is considered a natural food product. And that is why they haven't, like, gone full force into it. Even the indoctrination of supplements into the arena, Ellen, I don't know if you've noticed, is basically just kind of, they just started to emerge, and it was like, you know, word of mouth, and people, and the more people took them, the more they provided them, and it just, this was this back and forth symbiotic relationship between, without really going full force and advertising them. How often do you really see major advertisement for herbal supplements? You do a little bit every once in a while. You'll get your Centrum vitamin and that kind of thing. But the majority of this stuff is not introduced into a media yet. Why? Because they haven't managed to, they don't want to exhaust the market and heal everybody before they have a chance to capitalize on it.
Yeah, good point. I actually think the best remedies are detox remedies. So it's not really putting things into your body, it's getting things out of your body. That's what you want to do. Because we're all sick because we're toxic. It's, you know, bad food, bad water, chemicals from all sources, including drugs, but drugs are a big one. Mercury in our teeth, etc. So the way to get those things out, you could fast, but that's kind of a rough discipline. But the best way to get them out is by through the skin. The skin is the largest organ of elimination in the body. So if you can sweat them out, that's... So my favorite thing of the moment is Bikram yoga, which is yoga at 105 degrees for an hour and a half.
Yes, I have a good friend, and we were just talking about that. Although I have to tell you, that's a tough yoga to
It is. I know.
The whole time that we're in there, we are ready to just pluck our eyeballs out and boil them in there.
Yeah,
but after it's done and after you're finished with it, it's an amazing detoxifying. You know, the first few times that we did it, I felt dizzy, physically dizzy. And obviously I have some health issues, so I had to be very, very careful with it. But I agree with you, man, that is just wonderful. And that's Bakram yoga, for those of you that have never heard of it. It's a relatively new form of yoga. It's, excellent detoxifying, though.
Yeah, the first time I did it was in England, and I hated it. I thought, I will never do this again. I don't know why anyone would want to do this. And then several hours later, I could just feel I was breathing in places that I had never breathed before. I mean, it wasn't just like ordinary exercises. It actually opened something up that just wasn't happening before. And I thought, oh, dear, I've got to go back there. And I just kept going back. I mean, it is torture. I mean, there are other ways to do it. I know somebody that had Bell's palsy, and he had tried all different remedies and nothing had worked, and half of his face was just totally collapsed, and he went into an Indian sweat lodge And he came out and he was cured. It fixed him in that one treatment. And I know other people. There's the Scientology detox. I mean, the only problem with it is that you're going to get plagued with phone calls from Scientologists after that. So I hear. I've never done it, but it's a heat. And, you know, you go into a sauna. First, you take niacin. So it's a niacin flush, and you exercise for 30 minutes. And I got the book and I tried to do it at home, and it didn't work very well. They're very careful about all the supplements they give you. But so you exercise and sweat heavily in the sauna. The niacin pushes the toxins through your skin, so it gives you a niacin flush. You know, that rush makes your skin all red and stuff. But they do that for hours at a time, for weeks at a time. But
really?
I've heard of remarkable.
That's pretty rough.
Yeah, but I've heard it. But if you got a serious problem, you know, a drug problem, or the first man that told me about it, he had been in a motorcycle accident. Of course, I live in Hollywood, you know, the land of the fringe, so I meet these people. But the first man said he had been in a motorcycle accident, and he was in a hospital for a year, and he had been taking so many. I mean, they'd given him so many painkillers that when he came out, he was just like an old man. I mean, he just had no life in him. And so somebody told him about this detox, which was a way to get drugs out of your, sweat them out through your skin. And after he did it, he said he just felt like a child, I mean, like a baby. He was just bouncing around with all kinds of energy. And I've heard that from several other people. And then one man I know, he was in there with some people, some men from, they were Chernobyl victims. And he said you could actually see the radiation coming out through their skin. And they also were just totally rejuvenated by the whole thing.
Well, I would like to put a little information out there as far as the niacin is concerned. I was on niacin therapy for many years. The first courses of niacin therapy that I took was with the niacin that didn't have the anti-flushing agent in it. And I was on heavy doses of niacin right from the get-go because of hyperlipidemia. And let me tell you, people, it is not a joke. Niacin is a very powerful, powerful supplement. So be very careful, and I would highly recommend that anybody that's going to use niacin to be at least monitored by either a traditional physician or an alternative practitioner. Niacin is not a toy. And, you know, I think that that's one of the things that a lot of people don't know about these modalities of healing is that because, you know, we consider them vitamins, we consider them an herb. These are very powerful, powerful agents for healing. And there's nothing in these products that, and sometimes they can be harmful if they're not done correctly. You can overdo anything. So I would highly recommend always seeing a practitioner, a healer, whether traditional or non-traditional, but someone that really knows, a naturopath for wonderful sources of information. And, you know, that's one thing. You know, may I ask you something about that? It's always interested me, Ellen. There's even after all this time, there's very few certified naturopaths in our area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know some here. But that's
obviously, and they're very overloaded, but I would have thought in the 20 or 25 years that I've been working with this stuff, that we would have had thousands of them in this area, but that just isn't the case. I wonder why that is.
Mm-hmm. Well, most people, because they have health insurance, they feel that they've already paid money for the health insurance, and so they go to the medical doctors, and to go to an alternative practitioner seems expensive because that's one more expense that's an expense they wouldn't have had to pay. But the problem is, in fact, those practitioners are cheaper than medical doctors. I mean, if it was a fair fight here, if it was really free competition, and you were short of money, you would always go to the natural practitioner first because that would be the cheaper one.
They really are. When you're, the only time it's more expensive if you're paying for traditional medications, you're paying for insurance, and then on top of that, as you said, you're paying for alternative or supplemental healing. Now at that point, it can become very costly. I can't tell you how many people, I mean, I've literally cured, I've had osteoarthritis since I was a little girl, and I have literally cured and unlocked every joint in my body just by being on glucosamine and chondroitin supplements for the last, oh, probably 8 or 9 years.
Wow,
and
that's great.
Yeah, and I mean, my arthritis is literally a thing of the past. As a matter of fact, when I blew the meniscus in my knee out the last time, the doctor looked at me and he says, "Man, you've got beautiful joints." And I said, "Thank you." And I'd had osteoarthritis since I was like 8, which was very unusual, but it's what it was. And, you know, I know friends of mine that are experiencing knee replacement surgery right now, hip replacement surgery. And I can't tell you how many people that I've actually bought the Arthritis Cure book for and given to them as a gift, given the supplements as gifts, please just try this. Sometimes you just can't help people.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the trouble with supplements is it does take a while.
Yes.
You know how I'm the worst for that. I've got a closet full of supplements, and I buy them and I take them a few days, and then I just forget about them because it doesn't really have a dramatic effect on you. I mean, I know it'd be good for me, and I should, but I don't get around to it. Whereas a regular drug is the opposite. I mean, if it, say it's a painkiller. You can feel that immediately. What you don't feel is the fact that you're damaging your kidneys and your liver, and you feel the fact that it suppressed the inflammation, which was causing the pain or whatever it is. You know, most drugs you can feel. That's the difference between a natural therapy and a drug therapy. A drug therapy suppresses the symptom, which is your body screaming that there's something wrong here. So the drug masks that, so you don't hear the thing screaming for a while, but you have a rebound effect and you have side effects and you're damaging all those organs that are trying to get rid of these toxic things. A natural therapy works the other way. So it makes you feel worse, usually, before it makes you feel better, because you're re-experiencing that stuff as on its way out. So it takes
kind of like
active
chiropractic. That's how chiropractics work for me. I always felt worse after an adjustment. But the next day I felt wonderful. We have some questions here from our listeners, Ellen. Jim from Los Angeles, your neck of the woods, asked, obviously, do supplements help in cancer treatment, and which ones?
Oh, supplements definitely help. And I'm not a practitioner, so I really don't, it's not my place to say, and but you know, the basic supplements definitely help. In fact, I felt like you mentioned about the niacin, I didn't really mean to be recommending any particular therapy because I'm not a practitioner. I'm a writer, I'm an attorney, but what is very interesting to me. I had health problems myself, of course, and that's what got me into all this health field. And what convinced me was that I'd been to different doctors, and no doctor is as interested as you are in your case. And you can find the solution to your own problem if you what you have to do is just study and read and experiment with different things, change your diet. Of course, exercise is a form of sweat therapy. It's obviously, you're getting your heart beating faster. When the drug approach is to suppress the heart, if you have high blood pressure, well, the reason you have high blood pressure is your heart is trying to move that blood around so that you'll have some vitality. So the drug suppresses that because we're looking at the numbers instead of looking at what the body's trying to do. I just forgot where I was going with that.
Sorry. Well, they are not to be toyed with. I would certainly always recommend going to someone that is very, very familiar and understands the nature of the drugs and their the nature of the supplements and the type of therapies that you're going to be using. That's huge.
What I would warn people about is just that the conventional things are just not what they're cracked up to be. I've heard so many stories about outright fraud in medical studies. For instance, these vaccines, the H1N1 vaccine, have you seen the numbers on that? They're saying that like half the population has had, I can't remember what the numbers were, but some outrageous number have had swine flu. Well, I don't know anybody that's had swine flu. They're calling everything swine flu. They're not taking blood samples to find out.
Exactly. Exactly. And I have a member of someone that is very dear to my heart, who is a physician, and I trust implicitly. And I asked him about it. I said, "So, what are your thoughts about this? Are you guys seeing a lot of the swine flu cases in the hospital?" And he said, "Yeah, a lot." And I said, "So, what kind of tests are they doing?" He goes, "Oh, generally they're not testing at all," and that's the unfortunate thing. He said, "People come in, and the assumption is they have swine flu, and they're given the Tylenol right there, without even being tested. But they're calling it swine flu, and I don't understand the reasoning behind that." Needless to say, as I said, he's an excellent diagnostician. He is refusing the Tylenol flu, and he won't give it to his children either, which makes me very happy. And I would not take the Tylenol flu. But I don't understand the reasoning behind diagnosing everything that walks in the door as swine flu.
You have to be a little suspicious. They've made this huge number of doses of vaccine, and now people are getting suspicious of it and not taking the vaccine. I mean, it is a business like everything else, and somewhere in the back of their mind, somebody's thinking, what are we going to do with all these doses of vaccine? It's just like they have to use whatever equipment. Somebody has to pay for all that equipment they've got, so of course you're going to get the whole battery of tests when you go in there.
What are your thoughts on chelation therapy?
Well, I'm glad to hear you had a good experience. I've heard different people that did have a good experience, but I also know somebody who it didn't work for. It's good in theory. I mean, it's another thing that moves toxins out, and I think anything that really does move toxins out is the real cure, more than drugs.
I think too that a lot of people don't understand the nature of, you know, and as you said, and I'd like to, you know, emphasize this a little bit just because it's so valuable. A lot of people stop these alternative therapies really quickly because they do feel worse. When you are detoxifying, that is a very, it's like having it's like stimulating. A lot of people don't believe that these toxins can build up in your system. Medications that you took 20 years ago, especially if you're like doing things like losing weight or fasting, these can be very, you can have very powerful reactions to detoxifying in certain ways. It's no easy task, and it's not a joke, and some people can get very violently ill if it isn't, again, done correctly. There is a buildup that has to happen. You can't just go in and try to detoxify everything in your body and, you know, take all kinds of detoxes and expect to feel good. You're probably going to feel like crap for a long time.
Yeah. What I would particularly caution people against is going to doctors who you feel fine, and you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, "Oh, your cholesterol's high. We're going to have to give you a cholesterol drug." And then you think you're doing yourself, that you're doing the right thing by taking the drug that will lower your cholesterol and bring your numbers to where they say is the median. But those drugs are highly toxic. Those drugs are really bad for you, those cholesterol drugs.
Very.
And once you're on them, supposedly you're supposed to be on it for life. So that's the type of thing. I mean, it's one thing if you've been in an accident or something. Of course the doctor is, of course you want to go to a doctor, and of course the doctor is, knows what he's doing, and, you know, they're great for that. Or I don't know, I've had a bad hip for 40 years. I was run over by a car when I was 17, so I was like you with your osteoarthritis. So I've been fighting that for a long time, and I've tried every known remedy, and I suppose one day I may succumb to hip surgery, so I don't want to say anything bad about surgery either. But it's just this idea of that you have to have your numbers in a certain range, and if they're not, you should treat it with a drug. I mean, if your numbers are outside the range, sure, maybe you should do something about it, but not drugs. Drugs are they're actually anti-life. I mean, the way they work is to oppose what your body's trying to do. If your cholesterol's high, it's for a reason, and it's not because you're not taking an anti-cholesterol drug.
And we have a caller, Amy. Doesn't say where Amy's from. And she's asking, what are your thoughts on B17? Now, I have to admit, that's
Laetrile. And it's definitely good. There are definitely many, many stories of people who were helped with Laetrile. Jimmy Keller used it along with many other things. I think it's very good in an arsenal of many things.
Exactly, and that I agree. Certainly, it is. You know, I think people have to understand that this is a support. This is a support for your body during whatever processes you're going through, whether it's illness, whether it's healing, whether it's detoxifying. It is all about supporting your body through all of those things. So there's a lot of products that have to be implemented, and that's what, you know, a lot of people have a problem with it too, because let's face it, when you're doing supplement therapy, there's a lot of supplements to be made. Sometimes you're taking, you know, 20, 30, 40 pills a day, and that can be pretty rough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, well, this has again been fascinating. I appreciate your being with us, Ellen. One other thing, real quick, Ellen. Do you see anything happening with this health care bill? Do you really believe that we're going to get anywhere with this?
Well, I'm afraid they're going to pass it. Yeah, it's the worst of both worlds, because they're forcing insurance on us, and there are no guarantees that it'll be decent coverage, and there's no limit on what they can charge people.
And there's no public option, so anything that was good about it is now suddenly gone sour.
Yeah, this whole administration is such a disappointment. I mean, they've just capitulated on everything, or maybe that was the intent, but anyway, it certainly is not, we're not going in the direction that was claimed.
Well, you know how I feel about that. I think I agree. I think it was with intent. This is really the way it was supposed to work out. But I'll never forget Ann Coulter's, and I can't believe that I'm actually using a statement that she said on air. Ann Coulter once said during the last campaign, she said, "It's the Democrats' time to win." And I often wondered, boy, that's an interesting statement right there. It's our time to win because they need us for something.
Yeah, well, because it was in such a mess that there was no way they could get us out of it. So then if we're in, if the Democrats are in, I was a Democrat. I'm a disappointed Democrat.
I too was a Democrat.
Yeah. then we can take the heat for it, because there's no way out. They've left us with such a mess that there's no solution. But there are much better solutions than what they're pursuing. I mean, I personally think I could fix it myself if, you know, the armchair philosopher.
I know it's not that hard.
We can see what can be done. I could fix the healthcare system myself. All you have to do is set up an institution that tests remedies and see if they make you live longer. And we're not going to have any drug company influence on this institution. It's going to be totally people who have never worked for a drug company, and there's no revolving door. They can't go into a drug company afterwards. They're totally scientists who are going to see whether these things make you live longer, or improve your quality of life. And if they don't do either of those things, don't cover them with insurance. And I'll bet...
And don't cover them. And I'll tell you, I know how... I can also provide the other part of that equation. I can tell you how they can fund this. And all they have to do, it's really simple, standardize medical forms. Just what the savings you have from all of the bumbling mistakes that are made on medical forms, that in itself would cover every American for 50 years to come.
I don't even know what you mean, because I don't do medical forms, but what do you mean?
They are, each industry and in each office and in each insurance company and in each medical facility and each hospital has a different form. The forms are set up so to confuse people, in my opinion. And I've worked within the industry for about 4 years. Mm-hmm. So because of that, so many mistakes are made, either by the doctor, by the office staff, by the insurance company, just by standardizing the forms. And so much money is wasted going back and forth all day long with mistakes here and uncomprehendable writing here, and certain just the way that the paperwork is done is so confusing that it causes an unbelievable and very costly mess, Ellen.
Mm-hmm.
And by standardizing the forms across the board, this is the form that you use for, say, physical therapy. This is the form that is submitted for gastric bypass, whatever. These kinds of things, the standardization of the form across the board, whether it's in an insurance company, whether it's in the doctor's office, or all of these forms are the exact form, and they will accommodate for all the variables, would save you enough money to fund the healthcare system in America.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and speaking of which, you know the Canadian healthcare system, you know how they funded that? Their National Health Service has gone downhill because they no longer are able to borrow from their own central bank. Because everybody's fallen into the clutches of the international bankers. But for the whole middle portion of the 20th century, the Bank of Canada, it's still owned by the government, but they don't borrow from their own bank anymore. They borrow from the international bankers. But when it was first set up, the Bank of Canada just gave the money to the government. I mean, it funded, they called it credit, but anyway, they funded all this stuff just by creating the money on the books, which is what we should be doing. What the U.S. government does is to borrow on a debt that never, ever gets paid back. So those bonds are our money supply. All of our money is borrowed from banks, is my book, Web of Debt. But anyway, we could fund the whole healthcare system in the same way that Canada did it, which, by nationalizing our Federal Reserve and using it the way a central bank is supposed to be used, as your own credit machine to set up credit for the system. It might look like it would be inflationary, but it wouldn't. We're in a huge deflation right now. There's not enough money in our system. We need more money out there. And a natural place to put it is on the health of the population, because that's something that's actually going to, it improves productivity. If you have cheap, easy, safe ways to get healthy and keep your people healthy, you're going to save a lot of money on balance for the whole group. I mean, right now we have people all fighting for their own self-interest. The insurers are trying to make money, and each group is trying to make money. But if you see it as one organism, and we the people issue our own national credit, it's actually a very good investment to invest in our collective health, so that we all can get to work and start making some stuff, and to invest in our collective education and our collective pensions, so that we don't have to impose that on our corporations and make them not be competitive with corporations around the world where they do have government pensions. So there's so much more efficient ways that we could do things. All these problems could be solved if we just...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They can all be solved. And I appreciate your being with us tonight, Ellen. Thank you.
Next week,
Ralph Nader will be our guest, and I'm really looking forward to that. I hope you listen in, Ellen. That would be great.
Okay.
And thank you. I'll send warm wishes to your family in this part of the country.
Oh, yeah. I'll send them to yours. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. That's all, folks. And as we always say, let the people speak.
One bright sunny morning, in the shadow of the city wall, by the relief of fast, I saw my people. And they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is yours. This land is my land, from California to the New York Island, redwood forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine having banks and credit that serve the community, solvent and free of Wall Street corruption, that create strong local economy and job growth? Banks that put profits right back into the local business and economy, not into far-off foreign investments or high-risk and exotic finance schemes of the super-rich.
Yes, we can.
Can you imagine eliminating income tax, ensuring economic stability, increasing social programs, and improving the standard of living for all Americans while paying off the federal debt?
Yes, we can.
That's right. It's all possible.
Yes.
Can you join us in working towards a solution utilizing principles suggested by our founding fathers through united action and strategies outlined in articles, blogs, and wiki spaces where you can share and collaborate?
Uh-huh.
Please visit Ellen Brown's website, webofdebt.com, and help us make America's money and future of, by, and for the people once again. Can you do that?
Yes, we can.
Caution, if you are prone to being disturbed by real truth and real solutions, please continue to consult with your qualified Wall Street cheerleader economists on network television. Side effects for not visiting webofdebt.com include drowsiness, loss of job, loss of control of national finance, loss of country, followed by panic attacks and rude awakenings.